Broadcasting from Florida Tech, this is WFIT Melbourne, 89.5 FM. My name is Todd Kennedy with Soundwaves, and we have some very special guests in the studio this afternoon. We would like to welcome Christopher Long, the author of A Shot of Poison and his new book, Come On, and Brett Jensen, who just recently published the book, No Sleep Till Sudbury. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Todd.
Man, so both of you guys have led a rock and roll life, I guess I could say. I mean, you sort of came age in the early 80s when metal was coming around and, you know, the hard rock, I guess, was coming around. And do you think that sort of formed your opinions now? I mean, your sound?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, being a part of that movement when you're a kid, you look back on that now and you think about how impactful that was. You know, from a nostalgia point
right.
of view.
Now, your book talks about growing up outside of Ontario in Canada, a small town?
In Ontario, in Canada.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see a lot of bands there?
I saw a couple. My first concert was Iron Maiden. We were talking about that earlier with the Power Slave Tour, and that was a big deal. You know, so I got into Iron Maiden right around, I'd say, 82, 83, and I found out that they were coming to my town, which was rare because it's a smaller city in Canada, and it was a big deal.
Right.
You know, so I was really excited about it. And one of the chapters in the book actually is about that. It kind of details, you know, the run up to the concert and how I experienced the concert and stuff like that. You know, Twisted Sister was opening, you know, during I think it was their Stay Hungry record, and We're Not Going to Take It was like the big song on the radio. You know, so. It was a really cool experience.
Right. And it must have been a great time because metal was coming around and it was sort of exciting. There was all these new bands coming around and, you know, you go to your local record store and pick up the latest record.
And that was one of my favorite parts, you know, hanging out at the record store for countless hours. And when your favorite bands had their new record coming out, you know, you're right in the middle of that and you're waiting for that record to come out. It came in, you know, like a Tuesday afternoon. You'd go in and look for it and there it is right there. You recognize the band logo. You know, you grabbed it and you kind of looked at it, but you had to pay for it and get it home.
Right.
And you brought it into your bedroom and you kind of, you know, you looked at the liner notes and all the pictures and the details. And that was almost, you know, part and parcel with listening to, you know, the new songs. And it was all, you were absolutely focused on that. It was a really big deal.
Now, growing up in Canada and seeing some of these metal bands, you had a funny quote about Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil.
Well, in the book, you know, I go through what it was like to grow up in a small town listening to heavy metal, but, you know, I listen to these records and I provide a little bit of critique, too. So, you know, Shout at the Devil for me, and Chris and I joke about this, is the reason why he reached out to me was because he read that quote on the back of the book, is that Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil is a stupid record for stupid young people.
And you're a metal fan, too.
Absolutely.
I read that and went, this is my guy. I got to buy his book.
But, you know, I think most metal fans recognize that. You know, there's an inherent kind of cheesiness to heavy metal, and that's what makes it heavy metal, and that's what makes it fun. I mean, you got to recognize that.
Now, what do you think the attraction is, you know, for a young kid to listen to heavy metal, especially in a small town? You know, what is it about it that sort of attracted you to it?
Well, for me, you know, I was a big Kiss fan when I was a kid, so I think that the visual aspect and bands like Iron Maiden certainly had that, and bands like Judas Priest had that too, where, you know, there was a visual component that went along with the music, and it was almost like the soundtrack the music was to this kind of visual thing that they had going on. And growing up in a small town, you know, where there's a bit of a lack of stimulus, that always, you know, kind of gets your attention. So as a Kiss fan, the natural progression was Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil. You know, I remember opening a magazine in, I think it was 83, and seeing the ad for the Shout at the Devil record. So fire, check, blood, check, leather, check, big hair, check. You know, it was like, wow,
was
who are these guys? I got to get this record, you know? And there I was again at the record store, you know, into this stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Chris, you remember...
Those days very similarly. That's why I reached out to Brent when his book came out. I discovered it online and read some of the initial quotes and some of the stellar reviews that it was receiving. And I got a copy of it, and I went, holy cow, I feel like I know this guy. He was like telling my life story, too, growing up in the record
right.
store and discovering new bands and following new bands. And he so perfectly captures that experience and that passion of, you know, that those groups, we, that's what you believed in growing up, you know, was your bands, right. Whether it was metal or whatever the genre, you know, in the 80s, you know, we were passionate about the music that we loved. And his book, No Sleep Till Sudbury, just perfectly captures that whole experience.
Now, you had written a book, too, A Shot of Poison, talking about your tour with the band Poison at that time, too.
Right, I mean, right. Yeah, my first book came out in 2010 and chronicled my experiences working for the group Poison, you know, which was something I never would have dreamed happened. You know, they were one of my favorite 80s bands growing up and, you know, got the opportunity to actually go out and tour with them,
now,
which
you
was
were
huge.
You were a fan of the band before, and now you're working for the band and going out on tour. Did it change your perspective? Did it change your feeling for the band?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was, good or bad?
It's we'll just say that it's totally different being a fan and hanging out and going, wow, so cool. Once you're, I think, probably on anybody's payroll, things change. And
money does change things.
Yeah. So it was it was a drastically different experience than what I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. I'll say that.
Brent, did you hang out with bands like they were coming around? Were you like just in the front row?
I was in the front row, but I mean, growing up where I grew up, it was 4 hours north of Toronto, so there wasn't really any opportunity to, you know, mix. So it was being out there, you were kind of outside the action, and you know, I used to look in the Toronto Star, and Toronto's 4 hours away, but. You would see the ads for, you know, Motley Crue is going to be at the Maple Leaf Gardens. And it was almost like, you know, masochistic. I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this to myself. You know, I did, because I wanted to go to these shows. But right. As a 16-year-old, you know, it just wasn't feasible. I couldn't get down there.
Yeah. Now, Canadian bands, there was Canadian hard rock and heavy metal bands happening at the time, too. I mean, you saw those guys?
I did. Anvil was a big one. I mean, the obvious ones like Rush and I think maybe Triumph and Helix. I don't know if you're familiar with those bands down here, but Anvil was a big one. And, you know, a lot of other bands that Toronto had its own little scene, almost like the Sunset Strip. There were places like the Gasworks and Rock and Roll Heaven that, you know, I would read about in a magazine called Metallion. But there was a lot of little obscure Toronto bands that, you know, people may not have heard of, but I followed those too. They're really...
Is there a difference in bands like, you know, L.A. has its sound and the U.K. has its sound and you suppose Canada has their sound or?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how I would describe that sound. You know, I said that Anvil, they have a song called Stop Me that you hear on the radio every now and again. That was kind of like their, you know, hit single. And it kind of sounds like I say in the book, it sounds like an extra wasted Ace Frehley, you know.
That's good. Now, what got you to write a book, write those stories?
I was sitting around listening to music, and I thought about the impact that, you know, it was Shout at the Devil. Actually, I thought about, you know, the power of nostalgia and thinking about what, you know, when you're a kid and you're seeking out these stronger sensations, music is like an absent friend. You know, and it was really important to you. And I think that I just went back and really thought about how much I listened to these records and how attached I felt to this music. And I thought, this was really impactful. So, you know, I should write it all down.
And you remember these stories?
I do. I actually, in one of the chapters, I went through my cassette collection, which I still have. And going back through all these obscure, I mean, the Metallicas and the Iron Maidens and Guns N' Roses are in there. But there's a lot of obscure bands as well. And I went through that and kind of, you know, it jogged some memories and I recount some stories about growing up listening to these things and all the hijinks that kind of came in and threw in a couple of drinking stories to boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's a funny story in the book about you meeting Gene Simmons. Can you talk about that?
That was in Toronto and that was, I think that was probably about 12 years ago. So he was promoting his book that was called, I think it was called Kiss and Sell.
Kiss and something.
Something like that. Anyway, so he was there, and there was a huge lineup. So it was about 3 hours long, and it snaked all the way through its chapters, which is your Barnes & Noble, I think. And so I waited and waited. And, you know, I was thinking, I don't want to be that guy who says, I love you, man, you know. I wanted to think of something a little kind of more germane to say to him that might get his attention and kind of, you know, because I suspected he'd been hearing that all night, right?
Probably.
But what I didn't anticipate is that star power that, you know, when you're sitting across from a guy like Gene Simmons, all of a sudden, it has a crazy effect on you. So, you know, I'm about five people away and I'm thinking, you know, what can I say? And I think, you know, I used to listen to Kiss in my basement, and I used to listen to this song called Great Expectations from the Destroyer record. And the lyric is, in the din it seems, I'm a million miles away. He's talking about being a rock star and the connection between him and the fans is immense, right? So I said, I'm gonna say that, you know. And so I come up and I'm about, you know, I think I'm the next person. The guy in front of me is crying, right? And I'm like, geez. So, and then I started to get nervous. I'm thinking, this is Gene Simmons. So we're face to face because he's up on this kind of platform. And he's sitting down at a desk, and I'm standing, so we're like eye to eye. And he says, and then I'm like, oh my God. And he says, how are they treating you in line, boss? And he's stone faced, you know, and my face, my mouth is open, and I'm like, oh. So
he's without makeup, of course, right?
Yeah, he's got, yeah. And I mean, you're that close that you see like the little liver spots on his hands and stuff. So you're right there, you know? And so he says, how's it going? I said, good, good. And, you know, I said, you know, the world's a lot smaller now. In the din, it seems, you know, you're a million miles away, but here you are, or something like that. It's something stupid. I kind of garbled it up because I was all nervous. And so his handler, this guy who's pushing the book through, and you have maybe 20 seconds tops, right? So I look up at him. He's looking at me like I'm on acid, right? He's just like, what are you talking about? So, but Gene Simmons doesn't get it. I guess he forgot because Great Expectations was, you know, probably filler on a record like Destroyer. So he kind of, you know, turns his head and looks at me and says, you know, I'm sorry, man. I'm really tired. I don't have something equally as philosophical for you. I got nothing. And he starts laughing. I'll take it. But then right at the end, sure enough, he puts his hand out, you know, and we shake hands. And he said, thanks for coming out. And I said, thanks, man. I love you. What did I say that for?
I love you, man.
I love you, man. I did it. Yeah. So.
And it's in the book, No Sleep Till Sudbury,
it
right?
It is. Yeah, I think it's chapter two.
All right.
First Kiss.
Now, both you guys are doing the ultimate rock and roll thing. You put out new products and you go out on tour, right? We've traveling around.
We've been on tour all week. We, you know, I connected with Brent through his book, and we sort of became pals online. And I said, we need to, let's get together and go out on the road, because he'd been doing his own book signing appearances in Canada, and I'd been doing this for the last couple of years with my different releases. I said, let's get together like in the old days, you know, when, you know, you'd have Aerosmith and Kiss touring together, you know, the big rock and roll road show. I said, let's get together, you know, these two rock authors, let's, you know, book some dates, let's go out on the road.
And travel around in a van.
Yeah.
Right?
And Brent is just insane enough to go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, you know. So he and his buddy flew down from Toronto last week, and we met at the Orlando airport and rented the van, and off we went, man. We've been all over the Southeast and meeting people and sharing stories and talking about, you know, rock and roll and life experiences and writing and publishing, and it's been incredible.
Man, that is rock and roll, man.
Absolutely.
I'm impressed.
We're on the club tour. I'm 50. It took me 50 to finally get to do my club tour.
And stadium's next, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Now, you got a gig tonight. A gig,
yeah,
right?
Do you
call book signings gigs?
Why not?
Steve calls them
Why
shows.
Not?
When's the show tonight?
You have a show tonight?
Yes, we do. We are at Florida Discount Music tonight at 7 o'clock, which is, you know, one of the most iconic locations in Melbourne. You know, I mean, 35 years ago when I was a kid, we bought our first PA system at Florida Discount Music, you know.
Right.
So it's a real hoot to be going there tonight and doing the book signing.
So both you guys will be on stage at 7 p.m. tonight?
7 p.m., yeah. They've got a great little coffee bar set up in the back now, Florida Discount. It's like a little Starbucks built right into the shop, and with a stage, and they do live entertainment, a little bar in back, and tables and chairs. It's a really cool little venue, and they do, you know, open mic kind of thing. So I was speaking with Mike and Lisa, the owners. I said, this would be a great place for us to come in on the tour. This is, you know, great for an author book signing. And they agreed, and we were in Jacksonville last night, and we got up early, and here we are.
You made it into here, and now
we made it
another gig tonight.
We made it to the Soundwaves show, do a little press, and then we'll go do the gig at FDM tonight.
So you have your books for sale there, right?
Yeah,
and you'll sign them, and
we've got the print copies, we got the electronic copies, you know, because we're pretty techno savvy guys.
Oh, really? And, tech, that's right.
Yeah. So we can sell Kindles. We can sell print copies. We can sell ice cream cones out of the back. Whatever you want tonight, we're gonna be able to take care of you.
Do you have a book reading on cassette? Can I get a cassette of this now?
Give me 15 minutes, dude. I got my blaster out in the car. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll at least get you the first chapter.
That'd be great. Well, you can see both Chris Long tonight and Brett Jensen, the author of No Sleep Till Sudbury, and they will be hanging out tonight and talking about the book and sign the book, and you can get a copy of it. And you can do all things rock and roll there, too. So,
Florida discount tonight, book signing. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
I got one last question. This is something I've been around music for a while, but what is the difference between hard rock and heavy metal?
Have you read the book?
Parts of it.
Todd, you got to read this. So,
is there a whole chapter here that
can you just pass it over just for a second?
Because I always thought, like, you know, heavy metal is more theatric. Hard rock is like more in your face. This is just me winging it.
But you're right. I mean, and it's kind of like the age old question: is Van Halen heavy metal, or is Van Halen hard rock, or Def Leppard, or AC/DC?
Ooh, yeah.
Right. So it's one of those things that's always kind of irked me, because you can read something in a magazine where somebody says, "Hey, heavy metal act Def Leppard is at the," and I you know, it's like a pet peeve. They're not a heavy metal band. So I went through one of the chapters and said, "Listen, like, this is what hard rock is. This is what heavy metal is." And we go through all the bands, and we say, this band is not, this band is this band is that. And I mean, a lot of it's personal opinion, but I tried to make it as academic as possible in terms of, you know, what heavy metal is supposed to be perceived to be, in terms of, you know, it's more militant and more steely and kind of sharper, and hard rock is maybe a little bit more groovy, and, you know, you think like Toys in the Attic, stuff like that. So it's a little more laid back.
Yeah. I'm going to have to read the book now. That was a good
answer.
I think
you should.
Brent's heavy metal on hard rock.
So are you heavy metal?
I'm hard rock,
man. You are hard rock?
Yeah.
And he's metal.
Yeah. The chicks dug the hard rock a little bit more, so I stayed more over to the hard rock.
Yeah, they definitely
did. Yeah. The heavy metal was more...
You don't think the spikes on your neck and, you know, the dripping blood on the side?
Well, that certainly still has its appeal, you know. But, the Judas Priest and the harder edge bands kind of got more of the guy following, and the Def Leppards and the Poisons and Bon Jovi's got more of the girls, and that was the side I tended to gravitate towards.
Man. I am so glad you guys came in. I learned so much today.
Thanks.
No, this has been great. We're speaking with Chris Long, the author of Come On and A Shot of Poison, and Brett Jensen, whose new book, No Sleep Till Sudbury, is out now. They're going to be tonight at Florida Discount Music, 7 p.m., right?
Yep.
It's going to be a gas.
Man, thank you so much for coming in. It was a lot
of fun.
Thanks, Todd.
And I learned something, too.
You are a smarter man now.
All right. I love you, man.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
You're listening to 89.5 FM, WFIT, Melbourne.